On Friday's Page One, Defense Secretary Robert Gates said he's opposed to sending U.S. troops into Libya.
There will be no boots on the ground.
He said other countries should train the Libyan rebels. New questions about the pay packages for executives at the mortgage giants Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac, and kidney specialists are criticizing a federal program that pays for dialysis. I'm James Barron. All the news that's fit to podcast begins right now. Our top story says defense officials put the brakes on a major U.S. role in Libya. Defense Secretary Robert Gates and the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff said the U.S. should not be the one to provide rebels with weapons and training. Times reporter Elizabeth Buemeler says Gates faced tough questions from the House Armed Services Committee.
He said very clearly, very candidly, not while I'm in the job will there be U.S. boots on the ground. Both Democrats and Republicans on the panel were concerned about how this will end, and also about what they described as the disconnect between the military mission and the political mission. The members of the committee kept asking, how can you say these are separate? Doesn't this end in a stalemate that we can complete the military mission, but Gaddafi remains in power? Then what? That was their, I would say, their chief concern. Their secondary concern, they were quite angry about this, was that they felt they had not been consulted by the White House before the president undertook the military action.
Times reporter Elizabeth Buemeler in Washington. Gates declined to comment on reports the CIA is already working in Libya. Also on Friday's Page One, the mortgage giants Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac paid their chief executive $17 million combined in 2009 and 10. The government took over the two companies in the fall of 2008. Since then, they've needed cash infusions totaling $153 billion. The figures came from a new report by the Inspector General of the Federal Housing Finance Agency. The report says regulators approved the pay packages, but Freddie and Fannie are short on evaluation criteria and internal controls. In Japan, thousands of young people begin their working lives on Friday. April 1st is the traditional entrance day for incoming classes of new employees. Times reporter Ken Belson says they'll face an uncertain future. One young man says his start date at a bank has been put off indefinitely. He's volunteering to help people rebuild their homes. Taliban insurgents in Afghanistan are mobilizing for a fresh round of fighting, but they've been unnerved by killings and internal disputes. Times reporter Carlotta Gall says no one seems to know for sure who's behind the killings, but they've hit Taliban hideouts in Pakistan. Several high-ranking commanders have also been arrested, and a lot of Taliban fighters have pretty much gone underground. Here in New York, Quakers are divided about whether to split their Manhattan church from the school it's been joined to for more than 200 years. There are some legal advantages, but some church members are pushing for the separation because they say the school is no longer really Quaker. Tuition is almost $33,000 a year, and admission is highly selective. The church members say that goes against the Quaker traditions of simplicity, openness, and equality. Kidney specialists are questioning a federal program that pays for dialysis. They say the program was set up to keep young and middle-aged people alive and productive. They say too many of the patients now in the program are elderly and have other serious illnesses. Inside Friday's Times, the Richard Nixon Memorial Library in California opened an exhibit on Watergate. Times reporter Adam Negurney says it's different from what you'll find at other presidential libraries. This one is an often unforgiving account of what happened in the last 2 years of Nixon's presidency. There's a timeline showing the misdeeds before the Watergate break-in, the attempts to cover it up afterwards, and then Nixon's resignation. Financier Warren Buffett finds himself explaining the resignation of a top executive at his company. David Sokol had been considered a potential successor at Buffett's Berkshire Hathaway Corporation. Earlier in the year, Sokol persuaded Buffett to buy the chemical company Lubrizol in a deal valued at $9 billion. Buffett says Sokol told him he owned stock in Lubrizol. Buffett went ahead with the deal. That has some corporate governance experts saying Berkshire Hathaway needs tighter internal controls. Friday's Business Day section also looks at how much the Federal Reserve lent banks back when the financial crisis was at its worst. Big and small banks lined up at the Fed's discount window. The Fed handed out a billion here and a thousand there. The $1,000 went to Howard Bank in suburban Baltimore just in case things got worse. La Jolla Bank in California took $6 million. La Jolla and at least 9 other banks that took the Fed's money have since failed. Here in New York, you can breathe easy. They found that missing Egyptian cobra. It was alive and well right there at the Bronx Zoo. It had simply curled up in a dark corner of the reptile house. The snake had been missing for 7 days. Officials said it eluded an APB because it was lurking in an area with a lot of pipes and complicated equipment. That's our preview of Friday's Times. For a look at all of these stories, go to nytimes.com. You can send your comments about the Front Page Podcast to podcasts@nytimes.com. That's podcasts with an S on the end at nytimes.com. From our newsroom in New York, I'm James Barron. Thanks for spending this part of your day with us.